Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. Trying to hang on to some semblance of faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century, somewhere in the world. In America, we're losing it. No question about it, the faith is dissipating in North America and Europe. And, of course, the family is hardly an institution of any importance anymore. The nuclear family no longer makes up the majority of American households as of 2008. So we know that the family is falling apart, faith is falling apart, freedoms, yeah, they're going away too. But, you know, folks, the kingdom of God does not only extend North America and to Europe. It extends to the whole world. And God is busy. God is doing something on every continent around the world. That's why we have such an interest in what's going on in Africa. We've had African programs from time to time. Africa is a pioneering land as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. And there is, of course, great chaos throughout just about every nation around Africa. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So it's never easy to establish the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's never easy to do it, but you got to go somewhere, and you got to establish it. And there are, of course, great opportunity in a land of danger and unrest, which is what we find, especially in countries like the Sudan. Colonialism brought more humanism and materialism than it did Christianity. So I'm not sure colonialism was a good idea. When colonialism pulled out, of course, it left the remnants of humanist decay, as it always does. So not only was Africa cursed with animism and superstition and witchcraft and all of these things, but by the time Western humanism made it there, we left them with even more devastation, socialism, dictatorships, family disintegration, the United Nations, and AIDS. Yeah, that's what we gave them. We were able to disintegrate their families, too, while we were disintegrating our own families in North America and in Europe, thanks to humanist indoctrination, socialization, and existentialism, and all those things that we fight every day on this radio broadcast. And then, of course, Islam jumped into the mess and brought its own brand of statism and tyranny, because Islam, by definition, is statistic and tyrannical, and it has a penchant for chaos and bloodshed, and that's what Sudan got. But Christianity rushes in as well with our God-centered, Christ-centered gospel, and great things are happening right now in the nation of Sudan. A huge opportunity opened up in 2005, and in just a moment I'm going to speak with a Sudanese, William Levi, who was persecuted for his faith back in the 1980s. Now he ministers to the land of Sudan, and he is also the author of a great little book called The Bible or the Axe. In just a moment I'm going to speak with William Levi from the Sudan. Stay with me.
Dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. And how you disciple your son has everything to do with the relationship that you'll have with your son. Don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our father-son retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this August. This year, we are featuring some great speakers like Doug Phillips, Bill Potter, and Kevin Swanson from the Generations Radio program. You'll also hear the Wintons Band, a father and sons trio who play some great gospel bluegrass to the glory of God. You'll enjoy father-son Olympics, sports, swimming, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. Register today for the father-son retreat taking place over the weekend of August 28th. You can register online at check.org, that's chec.org on the web, or call toll-free 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast, my friends. Today we want to take a look at the continent of Africa, a continent certainly with competing worldviews and much unrest and chaos, and yet this is the land to which the gospel of Jesus Christ can really minister. A tremendous opportunity awaits in the continent of Africa, and with me today is William Levi. He's the author of the book, The Bible or the Axe, where he shares his own testimony of what happened as he grew up in a Christian home and, of course, suffered persecution in Sudan back in the 1970s and 1980s. But today he ministers to that country through his organization, Operation Nehemiah. And I want to welcome now our brother, William Levi, to our studio. William, welcome to Generations.
Thank you so much, Brother Sanson, for again giving me this opportunity to be on your program. And it was a divine appointment that we were able to meet at the Reformation 500 in Boston this at the beginning of this month. So just grateful to be on your program this afternoon.
Yes, we met you in Boston several weeks ago, and it was a great meeting. I read your book, The Bible or the Acts, a wonderful testimony of what God did in your life. And, of course, I think God has assigned you to an important task of rebuilding your country in the southern area of Sudan. But why don't we begin with what was happening back in the 1970s and 1980s when your family was living there?
Well, as you know, Sudan is the largest country in Africa, you know, direct land of Egypt, and it's 2.5 million square kilometer, and it's also a troublesome country. It's chaotic. We got our independence from England back in 1956, but right after that, the country was plunged into civil war, religious, and the root of this civil war is based on the Islamic regime based in the northern part of the country that has consistently tried to stamp out the Church of Christ, want to eradicate the Church of Christ. As you know, the history of the church in Sudan goes back to the early, you know, to the first century Christianity, back to the Ethiopian eunuch we read in the book of Acts, chapter 8. And you know, Islam took over the northern portion of the country, the area became Islamic, and the church came increasingly under attack. So the focus of the Islamic regime in Sudan is basically to Islamize most of Africa through the Nile Valley. As a result, the Christians in the southern Sudan, where I was raised, bear the brunt of that atrocity. And that civil war drove out my family to Uganda, and we were there as refugees for about 10 years. We came back in the early part of the 80s, I, for one, you know, I had the opportunity to be raised in a Christian home, and my grandfather was a pastor, and that was so instrumental in my upbringing. Even in the midst of persecution, I was able to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to the Lord in 1977, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that was very significant to me because it is one thing to have Christian parents and live in a Christian community, but it's one thing to take steps to have relations with Jesus Christ. And that had happened to me. And at that point, my grandfather wanted to make sure I understood what is to be a Christian. And he put the Bible and the Acts on the table and asked me to choose between the two as to what how I will fight my warfare. And my hand went on the Bible, and I choose that. And he smiled, and he felt like he really taught me, and I understood what it is to be a Christian.
Mm.
So right after then, you know, a civil war, the second civil war erupted, which lasted for 25 years. Again, the Islamic regime trying to stamp out Christians, and at that point, I have to stand for my faith and defend my own faith. And one thing that my parents have instilled in us is the love of God, based on Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know, to love God with all our heart and mind and soul, and to love one another, which is, of course, Jesus' command, the summary of the Ten Commandments. So I really love God to a point I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and nothing can remove him from me, and that's what it says for my own persecution.
Now, in your book, The Bible or the Acts, you tell the dramatic story of how you were captured by the Muslims, and they tortured you, and they challenged you on the matter of your faith. What happened there?
When they took us to Islamic prison, that was in Juba, basically they want us to renounce our faith as Christian, and they are basically saying that we have been brainwashed by Western missionaries. coming to Islamize, to Christianize us. So basically, we must give up Christianity, and the consequence, of course, is that we, if we don't, we'll be killed. Mm. And one of the reasons why they arrested me, in particular with two of my other colleagues, was because we refused to be conscripted in the Islamic army, and the victim, the people that want us to fight, the enemies are our own people at the church in the southern Sudan, and our village to be burned and so forth. And we refused to do that, and we stand on the faith. I was beaten, I was tortured, and all what was going in my mind during the time of imprisonment was the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I realized this was an opportunity for me to stand on my faith. And I knew, based on the teaching, biblical teaching, there is no hope in Islam, there is no direction in Quran, and Muhammad did not die for me. I knew these things, and so I cannot recant my faith.
Mm.
Miraculously, I was let go. I was a young man. I was only 18 at the time.
Yeah.
So I escaped, and then they rearrested us on Kenyan, Ugandan, Sudanese border. But finally, again, from there, I escaped and eventually went to Egypt, and from Egypt came to Turkey, and from there went to France and came here in 1988. Throughout this time, the Lord has used me to witness to Muslims, even when I was in Egypt. One thing that I really believe the reason why he did not, as I was escaping the country, I didn't go into African interior. Rather, I went to North Africa through Egypt and then came this way. It was just God wanted to clear this situation with me. I was conceiving fear as of courage, as opposed to courage. So meeting with Muslims in Egypt, in Turkey, it gave me an opportunity to testify, as you can read in the book, to testify of the faith I have in Christ and the hope we have in Him, and challenge them, not in fear, but in faith that they too know Him.
And you really believe, William, that the Bible is more powerful than the axe. The Bible is really what it takes to establish the kingdom of God in the hearts and lives of men and women in Africa. And if Africa's problems will be solved, it's not going to be solved with the axe, with the gun, with the nuclear armaments. It will be solved ultimately by the preaching of the Word of God. You believe that, don't you?
I firmly believe this, because Jesus Christ set the stage for us. He was a sinless man of God. He's God in human nature. And he did not sin. He was put to death for iniquity. And today, the world has been turned upside down for the past 20 years, not through violence, but through the Word of God that cuts through the hearts of mankind and bring people to repentance. And I know that's what Africa needs today.
Mm.
Africa needs a continent that does not worship the creation, but it worships the living God.
And Africa is torn apart right now with humanism, socialism, state-worshipping demagogues, and the animism and the Islam. And yet the Word of God, Christianity, is penetrating right now.
Very deeply. As I say, in the midst of all this atrocity, in the midst of the Civil War, we lost 2 million people, and their crimes, they were Christians. And I think those who perpetrate this atrocity believe by doing so they could have stamped out the church. But the Church of Christ has grown in the midst of persecution. And today, with the work we're doing through Operation Nehemiah, I go there every year, and I'm about to go back there again since the peace agreement was signed in 2005. Churches are sprinting from nowhere, from the villages. People are returning back, and they have no other hope. We have an active government in southern Sudan. Supposedly, that is the government that fought the Islamic regime to restore hope for the people. But even that is not working. The only thing that's working is the Word of God. People's lives have been changing. There was a young man that his family brought them to a church that we just established. He was alcoholic, and they think he was possessed by some demons, he was bewitched and so forth. So they brought him to us, and we prayed over him. He was cleansed from alcoholism, restored, and they saw the power of God at work right there.
And that's 100 times more effective than any powerful thing that the states could do to establish godly communities. The Word of God working in the hearts of these young men and young women is really what it takes to reestablish good, solid families and communities anywhere on earth, including here in America. You know, and right now, if you look at what's happening in Sudan, things have really broken down. Why don't you describe what you see today in southern Sudan?
Since 2005, we had an agreement signed with the Islamic regime in the north. So now we have SPLA, which is the de facto government, which is the government of southern Sudan. And this is a government that fought for the freedom of the people of South Sudan. And the people are returning back from exile to take hold of their country. But there is now the struggle is taking different shape. The issue remains. The warfare now we're fighting may not be necessarily of Islamic encroachment, but we're fighting a war that is raging in the homes, in the families of these people who are returning from exile. And the government cannot guarantee them anything because, you know, they need their hearts changed. And as I said before, if there was any success that the Islamic regime have done, the damage have done, even though they have not taken the country Islamically, the family's unit is broken. And so much moral degradation. There is divorce going on, polygamy, violence, alcoholism, beer brewing, all kind of stuff, laziness. So this is what the new Southern Sudan is experiencing. And a lot of people are flogging from the countryside in the big city like Juba. It's like a boom and a bust. They go there. Life is so expensive. And here through Operation Emaya, we are encouraging, we are taking one family and one village at a time. We are urging people, encouraging them to love God, to embrace Jesus Christ, to stay in their village, and to love, especially the men. We are encouraging them to love their wives and to be good husbands and fathers, and to be the priests of their household, and this, and to work with their own hands, and be able to put food on the table, to refrain from drinking, and these are the challenges. We are challenging the men there, and we are asking them to be part of a church, family church integrated, so that the church does not bear the burden of trying to, care for family. The role of the parent, the church, is to equip the saint, not to train his children. That's the role of the father. So we're encouraging the father, and we're encouraging them to support their local church. The local church needs a local body. So, and these are the things that we're doing through the ministry. We're seeing a tremendous changes taking place. And we're also seeing that that the UN is bringing this program destroying Christian family unit by basically creating what they call, social welfare in the community. Mm-hmm. Because most of these people who are returning from exile, they were in refugee camps, and they were being fed on ready-made food from the UN. They came back, they were lazy. So they don't know what to do with their life.
Boy, you have so many forces that are working against the gospel and the Christian way of life in Africa, from the United Nations to the socialist dictators to the Islamic forces, the persecutions. It seems so incredibly difficult to plant Christian communities, and yet it's happening.
It is happening, and I came from there about 21 years ago, and I struggled here as an engineer, and I'm done with the education, and God has given me a beautiful wife, a beautiful child, beautiful children, and I'm grounding the Word of God. I could live my life here just as well, but I realized, you know, this is not about me. God wanted me to be back there with the people. Remember in the scripture when Jesus healed a man who was, you know, who was telling himself he was mad, but he went, he was healed because those demons went in the peaks. He wanted to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go back to your own people and tell them what God has done for you. So I believe that God has brought me here and he wanted me to go back there and to share the testimony of what he has done for me in basically helping the community there. We started a church. Now we planted 7 churches in the span of 2 years. I've seen the very healing and the healing touch in my own family, which has been disenfranchised by this war. Three of my brothers are now safe, solid. My older brother became the senior pastor of the church we started in 2000. And my two brothers are working with me in the ministry. And they are the one overseeing the work there. And the community rally behind them. And the work is going forward. Widows, women who have lost their husband to the war, the church is taking responsibility to care for them and asking them to stay away from brewing beers so that they can basically eat the labors of their the fruit of their labor, by not getting men drunk, and we encourage them to have proper marriages and to stay away from fornication, adultery, and the message resonating. And people are now opening the agricultural farm land and so forth. My desire is that this community become like the city on the hill. The city on the hill. This is the vision that the American brothers and sisters have back then when they came from England or Europe here. They want to build this country to be a city on the hill based on Christ's principle on Matthew chapter 5. So I know that we have an opportunity of peace now in southern Sudan, but that could end tomorrow. But the peace that we have should be eternal in Christ. Mm. So even if war comes again in Sudan, at least the word of God will remain there permanently and the people embracing it.
This is a tremendous challenge. I mean, what you're saying is we bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people, the gospel of salvation, which entails the redemption of all of life. In other words, if Jesus is going to save these people, he's going to save their families. He's going to save their marriages. He's going to save their agriculture, their economic endeavors, their politics even. Jesus isn't just going to come and do some kind of a superficial thing. He's going to change every aspect of their life. And yet, when you look at how broken down these people are, and you look at the project before you, it's got to take tremendous faith in God to move ahead here.
Yes, I mean I went there last June and I met the political leaders there, you know, and I told them my goal is to really proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
There was a lot of need here. They need educated young Sudanese who are brought to come home there and bring development and join the politics. I told them my call is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would like to raise up the man to rise up and to be really good husband and father, because this is the pillar of society.
Absolutely.
And the family is foundational.
Yes.
Throughout the Bible, God has used the family to advance the cause of the Great Commission. So I do not see how the country can move forward with such a broken community in every way. You know, even materially, there's no way that land will be blessed when people are living such a very immoral life there.
Mm.
So this is the challenge God has laid in my heart. And together with all the supporters of the ministry here, like you, Brother Kevin, we are able to do what we are doing, and that the church is growing. As I say, we have a radio station there.
Mm.
One of its kind. It was never there before. It's broadcasting the gospel in a limited version. But we are launching this ministry through the airwave of southern Sudan to bring the gospel life, to change people's lives where the church is not easy to access because people walk on foot for miles and miles. So we have a small radio station that is also broadcasting the gospel.
Mm. And now, one of the projects that you're initiating here is to provide what resources you can to develop that beginning infrastructure in some of these villages. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what Project Nehemiah is doing in shipping materials over there to sustain these folks?
Well, since 2004, we have moved in there, and the Lord has really blessed us with resources that the Christian community in the States are able to give us. We have established a clinic now, a medical clinic, to meet the physical need of the people who are sick. And we track in at the beginning of this year, we track in $20 million worth of medicine to start the clinic. And we are working with the indigenous leaders there, medical doctors that Operation Emma have trained over the course of time. Young people who went to school, Operation Emma sponsored them, now they're back serving their community. We started a church at the Baptist on the Nile, And now there are 7 churches that have been established, and one of which has been pastored by my brother, and that's working. We are encouraging, we open about 70 to 80 acres of land for agricultural development and training families to go back to what they used to do. We're doing what you're doing here, you know, entrepreneurial boot camp, training people to work with their hands as families. We put a boat on the Nile, River Nile, in order to help families to earn living on their own, be able to support their local church. As we have built this radio tower, 300 foot on the hill to broadcast the gospel. We were doing beekeeping. People are generating honey so they can sell them a little bit to earn some living and support their local church. We have the Women of the Good News. It's a program to help widows and women who lost their husband to get away from brewing beers. And we get them sewing machines and garments so they can sell. As I speak right now, I have a 40-foot container loaded with all kind of materials. I'm shipping them over to support all this infrastructure.
Ladies and gentlemen, the year is 1633. The Puritans and Pilgrims have just made it to New England. No, make that the New Sudan. And they are building things from the bottom up. If things look a little ragged around the edges, that's because the beginnings of these movements are always very, very challenging, requiring tremendous faith. And I just want to commend you, William, for all that you're doing. You are a man who was tortured for his faith, and now you've committed your life to serving, to ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ in the land of your fathers. And I want to recommend your book, The Bible or the Acts, as well, to anybody who's interested in the faith in Africa. If you want to understand what it was like to grow up in Africa, in a Christian family, in a persecuted territory, you need to grab a copy of the book, The Bible or the X, and these resources available at operationsnehemiah.org. That's operationsnehemiah.org. And I also encourage you to support this vital work happening right now in southern Sudan. Operationsnehemiah.org is the website you want to visit this morning. Thanks again, William, for joining us on Generations. God bless your ministry.
Well, I appreciate your effort to collaborate with us and making a difference in this work that we're doing. I know that many people will be listening to this program. Many may not make it to Sudan, but you can make it there on your knees, praying for us and even supporting us, you have indicated, with resources that we need. And all of this is to give glory to Jesus Christ and to expound his kingdom in that continent. That is really what is needed now. And I'm traveling to Sudan in October with my wife and children and a number of other people. We're going to be drilling water and, to support the water system for the clinic. So you can pray about that as well.
It's the Operation Nehemiah, I think, the opportunity of the century, my friends, as men and women are rebuilding Christian communities in the land of southern Sudan. Our passion on this radio program, my friends, is to see the kingdom of God extended in our generation. And we want to see it extended geographically, around the globe, institutionally, in every aspect of life, and generationally in the lives of our children and grandchildren. It's a humongous project. It's a huge project we have on our hands. But it is the kingdom of God, and it's important. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we lay out a vision for the next generation.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with some great messages that will encourage your family to live and love together the way God has laid out in His Word. Imagine a 5-day camp with some of the best nationally known speakers on the family. A 5-day camp priced from $155. That's $155 for the whole family. We have obtained the use of one of the largest campgrounds in the West for this camp in Glorieta, New Mexico. Your family will hear inspiring messages on relationships and loving the family from some of the familiar voices carried on the Generations radio broadcast. And there will will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, tennis, ping pong, paddle boats, and canoeing. We have priced this camp so it will be affordable to the largest families with the lowest income and a tough economy. To register or just check out a little more information on this camp, visit our website, renewingthefamily.com. That's renewingthefamily.com. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock. Call 303-648-9606 for a brochure or email camp@reformationchurch.com. That's camp@reformationchurch.com. You need to register now. At these prices, we are filling up fast. That's camp@reformationchurch.com.